Welcome to our December-January edition of Heart to Heart. Jenny Dent writes, in Links of Light, as we approach the very special time of the Christ Mass Festival, I have been reflecting on what it means to be a part of a worldwide family. The Queen has demonstrated the many qualities of a wise mother and helped countless diplomats, prime ministers and leaders with her breadth of understanding and compassion. Now there is a new king, Charles III, and his accession truly does indeed herald a new era. I find it interesting that this is happening at the same time as our new Temple of Light on Newlands Hill is heralding a new beginning in our White Eagle work. Our world is changing all the time, a fact reflected all around us, as demonstrated in nature, in the seasons, and in our own bodies. But there is constancy too, a quality our Queen demonstrated so clearly. And if change seems scary, especially with the wisdom of White Eagle's teaching to help us, we can be reassured that the core values remain the same. This fact was brought home to me as I read about a major new report published in September by England's Children's Commissioner, Dame Rachel D'Souza. This report highlights the changes in families and family life in the UK over the last 50 years. To quote an article about this, the report has found that nearly half of UK children now grow up outside a traditional family unit. But the research shows that family is about strong and lasting relationships, relying on each other and spending time together, and shows it's more about the quality of family relationships than the composition or relative position of the family in society. The report analysed families across a wide variety of categories, including location, ethnicity, religion and socio-economic background, and found that for the vast majority of children, family boiled down to the same three words: loving, happy and home. One of the things that has touched my heart often over the years is the number of people who, on joining the lodge, have said, "I feel I have come home." This feeling is experienced, I believe, in all our groups and star centres and our sister temples in Mullaney, Australia and Montgomery, Texas. And thanks to modern technology, we have been able to link up both spiritually and physically for our services of dedication on Sunday, October the 23rd, and to have shared this special moment in the history of our work. So many members and friends all around the world have contributed their bricks of light, which are now gathered into the Grail Cup of the new temple. And the heavenly choir of angels joined us in celebration and thanksgiving. It is a wonderful thing that even if we cannot be together physically, home is where the heart is. And with its keynote of love, the White Eagle Lodge, home, founded in love, goes forward now more fully into the Aquarian age of worldwide brotherhood. My dear family, all at our Newlands retreat home, extend a very warm welcome to you to visit your spiritual home in your body of light many times during the years ahead and during the Christmas festival, and to make your inner pilgrimage to one or all three of our radiant temples of light. With my love and warm wishes that your heart, your Grail cup, may be filled with golden joy, spiritual comfort and fulfillment in the new year ahead. A Christmas message from White Eagle from a carol service address. We find it somewhat difficult to speak at first because of the beautiful carols to which we have been listening. We feel with all of you a great surge of joy and thanksgiving. May we from our side of life thank the choristers. You have given us great joy. Without the harmony of your souls, you could not have produced the vibration of love and harmony, which has penetrated the spirit of everyone present. We would remind you all that your congregation is larger than you may think. One day, perhaps even tonight, the veil may be drawn aside for you to see the host of angelic beings. This vast congregation joins in thanksgiving to the Great White Spirit for this outpouring of light and goodwill upon the earth. This same outpouring of light upon the earth is increased at the Christ Mass. For any anniversary brings such an increase. Always an anniversary, whether of a birthday or some particular joyous occasion, brings such an outpouring of spiritual power from the heights of the spiritual spheres. If it be the anniversary of the passing of one of your loved ones, because your thoughts centre upon that dear one on that day, your love is going forth. Thus, you are opening the channel for the inflow of great light and power. Remember this, and then, as each anniversary comes round, there will be an increase of this power. Today you are celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus the Christ. You are apt to take so much for granted in your human way. You are pleased to sing. You are very glad to listen to carols. But we would also impress upon you the spiritual significance of this season. According to your assessment of time, nearly 2,000 years have passed since the Lord Jesus the Christ incarnated and came to bring a special message. Even yet, the message is only beginning to percolate through the darkness, through the many layers of earthliness. For in this present age, the age of Aquarius, humanity is growing more receptive, or shall we say more ready to be receptive? For with development and growth of the mental body, humanity is beginning to realise the significance of the esoteric teaching of the Lord Jesus. You are all in the habit of looking backward. At this season, your thoughts turn to the wonderful events which are recorded as having taken place 2,000 years ago. We say to you tonight, do not look back only. Look within. Look around you, for you will find a very gradual but certain demonstration among people of the life and the truth of the message of Jesus the Christ. We are not forgetting the teaching which has been voiced by other teachers and world saviours. We rather wish to emphasise the importance, the greatness of the Christ Mass for the world today. And the Word became flesh. The light became incarnate as a demonstration to all humanity of the power and the beauty, the glory of the light incarnate in Jesus the Christ. You too are as a child, a babe recently born, and in you is implanted the light, the sun of life. It is for you to study this truth, to turn within your souls and discover for yourselves the spiritual blessing which the Father Mother God has implanted in your own heart. I come to bring you good tidings of great joy. This is the message which the Son of God is now bringing. The word of life dwells in your heart. There is no death. Your loved ones are with you. Within your own being waits a power sufficient to draw aside the veil of death, which will reveal the glory of the heavens and teach the way to conduct your own life, so that you can find for yourselves heaven upon earth. Heaven lies within your own being. The Lord Christ has given you a key with which to unlock the mysteries. Do not lay aside the message and think it is just an ideal which you open out on Sunday and pack away on Monday. Remember, my children, within you lies the door to the glory of the kingdom. When you have once deeply realized this, there will be no more sorrow, no more pain or suffering, nor will the darkness of the material world batten you down. The angels are as real today as they were at the time of the birth of Jesus. You may be like the shepherds, for the shepherds were the initiates who were ready to see the angels, to hear their message. The heavens today are ringing with the joy of Christ Mass. So soon as you accept this truth and live in accordance with the divine law of love, so soon as you open your consciousness to the spheres of light and beauty all around you, so much the sooner will the whole world be united to one brotherhood in spirit. Then will each nation recognize the contribution which other nations bring to the well-being of all the other peoples on earth. In this manner, beloved children, may the great peace come on earth. In this manner, may the message of the angels ring from north to south and east to west of the earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. This will come, and soon, if all of you will turn to the sanctuary of the Spirit, and in the silence, listen to the angels singing. And to the whisper of the Christ in your heart. In the knowledge of the presence of your loved ones in spirit and the presence of the angel throng, may you all enjoy a very happy Christmas, and find true communion, heart with heart, in your family circle. God bless you. God bless you, everyone, with happiness. Second Nature 2 by Colm Haywood. I was at secondary school during the Martin Luther King era, and the idea of non-violent resistance and non-violent direct action has never left me. Engaging with television pictures of the civil rights movement, it was not long before I was reading Gandhi, and although I do not have a huge grasp of Gandhi's writing, my interest was further piqued by Richard Attenborough's film about Gandhi and Philip Glass's opera Satyagraha, which I have liked enough to see twice. I'm no great yoga practitioner, but I've also been fascinated by ahimsa, non-violence or harmlessness, as one of the basic moral precepts of yoga. It was from the opera that I really imbibed the knowledge that Gandhi's real quest was not actually ahimsa, but satya, which means truth, and it is the knowledge that harmlessness is an aspect of truth, the great laws of life, that has inspired these two articles. First, though, let's go to White Eagle. In his moral focus, does White Eagle allow for violence of any kind, including warfare? And the answer is that he sees humanity evolving, which may sound like avoiding the answer, but it is not. Here is what I would regard as a definitive passage from a Sunday address he gave at Remembrance Time in 1958. Work that future humanity will never resort to armed warfare. There is, you will not like us saying this, but seeing from the spirit spheres, there is no such thing as just wars. There should be no war at all. If a man lives his life as an example by Jesus, there would be no war. In other words, humanity has to do more than simply eschew violence. Humans have to work on all aspects of their spiritual unfoldment before war will actually end. But it is by our own spiritual unfoldment that we influence others, much more efficiently than by somehow coercing them, which interestingly is itself a form of violence. One aspect of spiritual unfoldment that White Eagle refers to with incredible frequency is around our attitude to the animal kingdom. Time and again he says that we will not eradicate violence between human beings until we have eradicated violence towards animals, which is what links this article to the first one about nature. White Eagle says, "You will not accomplish anything by force of matter, of physical matter, because that force is consuming its darkness, and it will consume those who use it. Did not Jesus say, 'He who uses the sword will perish by the sword'?" Take a broad view of these words. Do not think of it only in terms of an actual physical sword, a man slaying another. Think of it in the principle, the spiritual principle of life. He who would use force, whatever that force, is destructive. Force is bound to be destroyed. He who inflicts cruelty on the beasts of the earth will reap disease and cruelty in his own life. No kingdom should prey upon another kingdom. There must be the governing power of love. Love towards all creation, which means a tender appreciation of all that nature is giving to man. Here I think we have the clue to White Eagle's attitude, or rather his reference to the laws of life. His belief is not summed up in such a phrase as "warfare is wrong," but rather in the understanding that force of any kind is destructive, and that if we ally ourselves with the forces of destruction, we will destroy ourselves, as a race even. In principle, destruction can actually be a very beautiful thing. To the Hindu, it is the role of Shiva, the destroyer. To an extent, and in a way not to be misconstrued, it is related to the female energy, although the polarities are confusing within the Vedic Trinity. Life would be impossible without it. And yet it never behoves us to ally ourselves with it. We accept the necessity of destruction, but we do not become destroyers. This is true not least because once humanity becomes destroyer, humanity struggles to stop. We talk about the cycle of violence very aptly, and it is only when a human being or group of human beings or some outside event breaks the cycle that violence ends. How many of our conflicts in the world have been going on for generation after generation? It's interesting that White Eagle links force and violence. Is it wrong to drive in a nail? Of course not. But even a neutral action is easily hijacked into a harmful one. The nails that held Jesus to the cross certainly contained both force and violence. What's the distinction? Most of all, I'd say, in human motive, which is one of the reasons White Eagle places thought control at the top of the list of our spiritual unfoldment. We can drive in a nail constructively, but we can also add a negative intent to what we're doing. Maybe this gives some clarity as to why non-violence is not just about not being violent. It is about not wanting to be violent. And that means our whole psychology has to be worked on. I hope it's not depressing to say we won't leave violence behind until we are whole human beings. But it's at least true to say that real non-violence proceeds from a wholeness of self, even helps us find wholeness of self, as it did for some of the civil rights protesters. Here's a story to illustrate what I mean. Immediately before I wrote these two articles, I was camping at the foot of the Rila Mountains in Bulgaria. My companions were members of the White Brotherhood, but members of what the Bulgarians call the White Brotherhood, which in recent formation is something founded by the teacher Peter Djunov around a century ago. It is the knowledge that behind their White Brotherhood is the same brotherhood in spirit as inspires ours that enables me to believe that I can go to these mountains and be serving spirit by doing so. I receive great nourishment. I hope I fulfill the need for service by prayer and meditation, but by two things besides. One is learning more about brotherhood and establishing a wider sense of brotherhood that brings our group of brothers together with theirs, but the other is by actively growing my sense of participation in nature, the trees, the air, the mountains, the butterflies, the flowers and the horses, to give a little mini catalogue of the manifestations of nature I am most conscious of while there. Oh, and the earwigs. Nature always offers a challenge or two. And there was a wider human challenge beyond the earwigs. On my penultimate day there, a group of young men, mainly in their 20s, turned up in one 4x4 vehicle after another. They developed an existing wooden shelter, built an enormous fire, and unloaded a generator along with vast speakers. All through the night, quite literally, we had to listen to music that was, to my tastes, unspeakably awful, played at quite deafening volume. I don't mean anything like the sound inside nightclubs. It was meant to deafen totally. And I doubt that anyone had even as much as an hour or two of sleep. The second night, many of the boys had gone, and the music began more quietly. Then, between 1 and 3 a.m., the previous night's volume returned, and more. I had believed that the amplification was already as high as it could go, but no. Only the relatively short duration of this awful burst of sound saved any sleep for us at all. Well, as you can imagine, I'd guess most people had thoughts of violence. I can only speak for myself in saying that the temptation was not violence towards people, but the satisfaction of grabbing the firewood axe, substantial, and reducing the speakers, wooden, the amplifier, metal, and even the generator, strong metal, to splinters and shards, or at the very least, to sever a few cables, dominated my wakefulness. The trouble was, we were a vulnerable minority. 30 to 50 able-bodied men could do quite a lot of harm to our group of maybe 16 men, women and children, very few of them what you might call combat material. There was, in short, no real option except to project love to our persecutors, even while the mind asked constantly how they could view their own enjoyment in complete separation from our well-being. We didn't, outwardly, achieve anything by our holding those still impressionable young men in the light, or by the prayers for protection that the Bulgarian Brotherhood preferred as their first resort? Or did we? First, is not perpetuating the violence itself a worthwhile created thing? On the morning I left, it was given to me to choose a prayer from the Bulgarians' prayer book, translated into English. Without time to read the prayer in advance, I chose one with the title, For the Fruits of the Spirit. It contained thankfulness for the things that strengthen us as well as the more obvious gifts life brings. We accept the sufferings which thou sendest us with joy in our hearts. We accept the hardships which thou sendest for the strengthening of our spirit. Maybe we actually underestimate the power of non-violent action. As the final lads left, we were able to wave at them and smile. I doubt it improved their recognition of the need to not harm others for their enjoyment, but I saw some pride from the fact that even in force of words, no one did anything whatsoever that had roots in violence. I felt I'd learnt something, grown, was better for the lessons of life. The morning after the first night of sound, as we gathered for the daybreak prayers, I noticed a distinct increase in the level of love we felt one for another. Maybe, after all, we had received a gift. As we say in this season, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. An Experience of Music by Geoffrey Haywood. I had been listening to one of Beethoven's last quartets. It is sometimes said that Beethoven, in the last 6 quartets, reached a consciousness higher than is found in any other music. That, of course, is a matter of opinion, since one of the joys of music is that it can mean so many different things to different people, and yet be thoroughly enjoyed by them all. Music, it is said, can lift us to the stars and help us to feel their wondrous harmony. The stars have harmony, for light itself is music. Wherever light passes, there can be heard sound, and the varied sounds are exactly comparable to varied strains of music. For all is vibration. The vibration of light is but a higher frequency than that of sound, but one can be translated into the other. Similarly, music can enable one to see, visionarily, its patterns made in the form of light. To hear the beginning of Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, with its opening phrase nobly struck forth, is to be enabled to see strains of light breaking forth, each in pattern and design comparable to the music played. The universe was not only breathed forth as light, it was also sounded forth. The light was music, and the music light. And that music of God is ever going on. It is the song of being. And all things make answer to it, for all things are parts of a whole, of the whole of creation, and are the parts of the general harmony, the diapason. When we are in the divine light, we are in harmony, in peace, and not discordant with anything in the universe. Our hearts are lifted up to that high song sung by the angels. The archangels, painted but symbolically with trumpets in medieval paintings, particularly at Christmas, when the light of the white ether of heaven draws near, do we catch on earth something of this love in song, in harmony, and feel the message of it upon earth? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. For then the stars appear more glittering and seem to be singing and dancing with music in the joyful heaven that a child is born among men. The Prince of Peace, the Christ within men as within all nature, and the shadowy earth gives back her response of love. When heaven and earth are singing, then is the Christ born. We too, in our carols, enter into this general dance. Our arms truly reach up to the stars to join in the great wheeling dance of this great holy day. We are dancing about the King of Love, this Christ child in our midst, and loved in every heart alike. He makes us all one. He nourishes us with the white ichor of life. He gives us himself, his very heart, to make us all one and compounded of love, of his very substance. Truly, he is descended among men, the life of heaven come down, the very bread of life, the substance of eternity, the white love of which the universe and we were first made. Truly, the stars are but white love, white essence, each a house of music and of love. They were each made of the white bread, the essence of the universe, breathed forth at that beginning which has no end but ever is. They too, like sons of God, move about the great Father, expressing in their joy their love to him. They are the brotherhood of the great choir, singing of the life, the love of the universe, and each a son of God, a son of day, of life. Truly, his white ether enfolds all. The great inward sun of the cosmos is one unbounded flame wherein all things are contained. The universal sun wherein all suns have their being. And we are nourished by him. All is one. All is life, all is the flame, the breath of God. The universe is thus likened to a pyramid of life. From the apex, a single point, the sides run down to form a base of four. Everything within the pyramid is congruent harmony. From the stars to the earth, and the human beings and animals therein All is harmony. All are parts of a whole, and whole is living music. Music is sometimes likened to geometry, and the measures of this pyramid are perfect, one within the other. The universe is composed of perfect measures, perfect vibrations, perfect ordinances. The whole is the perfect bread of life, which God has given to man for his house to dwell in. God has given him all the universe for his being. He has given the divine secret, perfect life. Silver and Gold by Anna Haywood. I want to begin this article with a story. So get comfortable and let your imagination wander to another place, another time. In the dark shadow, under the bole of the olive tree, he sat, among the thistles and the parched grass stems, crushed brown under the weight of a long summer. He was still, knees hunched, blending into the formless shade. He could be anything, a dead sheep, an old rotting chair, a discarded pot. But he was neither dead nor discarded. He was very much a hot living creature of this landscape, but of necessity, still. Cicadas coruscated the silence, rasping, demonstrating life, movement. All else waited in the heat. Olive leaves silvered and patterned the sky above him, but did not move. The air smelt of goats and herbs. He could see, across the olive grove, dotted with rocks and red earth, towards the hills, and a dirt track leading up and round into the pine-filled distance. More rocks slashed down in sharp ravines and punctured the ground with their sharp whiteness. He watched them appear, straggling out of the distant haze around the rocks, some shuffling, some helping others over the rough ground, some pushing forward eagerly despite the heat. They wore the rough cloth of peasants, but carried with them a golden aura of hope, which reached out towards him where he sat and lit their way. They knew he would be there where he'd said to meet, though he remained in the shadows. Their path was unerring, away now from the track and across the dry grasses between the silver trees to where he awaited them. When the crowd had gathered in the olive's shade, he stood. "Welcome, my brothers and sisters," he said, his quiet voice carrying to the furthest. "Come, sit with me in the shade and receive what you need." He shared his meagre lunch of bread and fish, which multiplied to feed all. But greater than this food for the body, he shared his soul and the hope of many became a golden harvest. The birth of any child is special and wondrous. Not only the joy of a completely new life, the entrance into this world of the creative part of a soul, but also the potential. What will this little bundle of softness and vulnerability become? What will they do with life when they are able to choose for themselves? This life we feel we witness in Jesus the Nazarene begins in humble surroundings in a stony land. It very soon becomes a lonely life and separate, not physically, but from the usual needs and desires of those around him. This boy, man, sets himself apart from the society of the time and from the church. He eschews limited family life in order to fulfill a greater destiny when the whole world becomes his family. Yet even in this, he remains separate emotionally, going up into the mountains when he can to pray, feeling isolated from the feelings which affect others, always with part of him sitting alone with God in the heights. This baby will take up the life of a pioneer and as such becomes an outcast. As someone outside so-called normal society, he understands others who feel rejected, odd, unloved, alone, the suffering ones, and he teaches something which will wash away all their sense of loneliness and fear. He helps them to remember why they are here in their physical bodies, possibly in difficult lives. He shows them the power of the Spirit through love and by becoming one with them. He meets them in the fields and olive groves of life, where the land is rocky and the life is harsh. And he gives them something more than family, more than friendship, more than earthly desires and comfort. He gives them the means to contact a greater love, which will sustain and guide them no matter how far they journey or what lonely, rugged lands they inhabit. So we look at this tiny baby wrapped in rough cloth. And at the same time, we visualize the lonely, loving man. And again, we try to envisage the immensity of the soul which came to us and showed us the way. White Eagle's New Year message. As you stand at the beginning of another year, every one of you needs our help. Many of you feel confused and worried about how to act in your particular life. The answer, my brethren, is to give yourself into the charge of the angels of God. Try to feel the strength, the power of God holding you up. Moreover, try not to neglect a quiet time each day. When you withdraw from the noise and tumult of the physical life into the silence of the heart temple, and there firmly allow your subconscious to dwell on the light, on the perfect form of the Christ. Feel his tender love flowing into you, enfolding you, leading you onward. When you reach the golden city in your innermost being, which means when you have realized the glory of the Christ life, you will find that there is an actual golden city. Many people are confused about this issue. Is there a beautiful golden world in form, or is there only this state of consciousness? The answer is that whatever a person has achieved in their innermost soul, he or she is able to create form with the power which has been achieved. So it is that when you pass away from dense matter, through that higher ether, into a more perfect state of life, you cannot help but think beauty, for it is created by the thoughts issuing from your soul. Now, as you stand at the beginning of a fresh year, we wish to give a particular message to our brethren, members and friends. We speak to you perhaps as an elder brother, but certainly as one who understands your problems, one who is with you instantly at the call of your spirit. We talk to you as our beloved family in this lodge, and we want to say that this year will be one of particular opportunity for service to humanity. The work before you, and before all of us in the higher ether, is to continue to serve humanity and all creation, by which we mean the mineral, vegetable, animal and human, and then the etheric and angelic. By serving all these kingdoms of God, we are serving each other. And to serve each other means that service rebounds to the individual. This is a divine law. You cannot do good without doing good to yourself, but the motive of the service is the important point. You serve creation and humanity because you have within your heart tenderness, pity, and love for all life. As you evolve, you will find that your spirit impresses your mind and your nervous system with a sense of love, so that you cannot injure anything. You cannot go against what is called conscience, because that is the voice of God, of the Christ within you. You feel the suffering of another, but it is important not to collapse under those feelings. Learn to be wise and strong in looking upon suffering, and in doing all you can to alleviate sorrow and pain, you grow in grace and in strength in your heart, so that you instantly know the need of all living creatures. We have emphasized the point of brotherhood as the keynote for this new year. The future is opening the path to the new age of Aquarius, the age of brotherhood. You will find from the very outermost rim of human life a tendency towards union. You will find that people will more and more work in groups. It is through group service that humanity will earn this most beautiful unification of mind and spirit with other souls. So when a soul advances to higher spheres, it will enter the world of infinite perfection and harmony, where it realizes it is at one with all life, with God, and with abundant love, beauty, harmony of action, harmony of all vibrations which make up life. The soul knows that whilst it can behold the beauty of form everywhere, it can also feel that it is that form. It knows that it has infinity before it. That state of mind and heart and life is one of absolute harmony and peace and joy. What about the suffering of humanity? How can any soul be happy in the consciousness of perfect love while there is suffering and cruelty at the lower levels? We answer by saying that when the soul has reached that pinnacle of happiness and joy, it can see the complete whole. The soul then lives to alleviate pain and suffering. It is living at all times to bring about the evolution of the unformed and imperfection to perfection. On earth, you are consumed by your own emotions and your idea of suffering. But we assure you that the soul that is free in the light understands that God is love, however confused the physical aspect is. The God life is working, a great and infinite and beneficent power which is slowly, slowly bringing right and goodness out of wrong and darkness. You have to get to that pinnacle of awareness of love. We who are closer to you in spirit are impressing you, giving you courage and strength to go on knowing in your heart that all is working together for good. We know human heartache, but we know too that all pain is gradually dissolved in the light. When you send out the star, which we watch you do, we see your devotion and the pure light in your heart, which is directing that light of the star into the world. We who have worked for the Brotherhood among the tribes and nations for many a long year and in many past incarnations are working with your help to bring into our brothers and sisters' hearts everywhere the light and peace of the Christ Spirit. So our message to you at the beginning of your new year is to be led by the light of God, to gaze up into the heavens and see the blazing, the radiating six-pointed star, and to follow that star the whole of your journey unto the end. And we have told you that the end is the union, the comprehension of union with the whole. The Spirit Company wish you all a happy and even happier new year. Happy in spirit. Amen. The reading for our service is The Gentle Brother by White Eagle. Beloved brethren, we come to raise your thoughts and your consciousness to a life golden with the spiritual sunlight. For in that world, what the soul is most conscious of is God love, manifesting in every conceivable place. It is to be seen in the law and the order, the perfection of the flowers and the harmony of the colours, the soft whisper of angel voices and heavenly choirs. It is to be seen on the people's faces and in the tranquil gentleness and love which is so evident in the life and bearing of the people in this land of sunlight and spiritual life. Dear ones, do not try to eject material thoughts from your minds. but steadily think of these beautiful things which exist in the spiritual state of life. Then in time you will find that your vision opens, and that when you are thinking of the angelic choirs and sun-clad people of the higher astral world, you will be able to see them. You will say, "Is it my imagination?" But you will see them. So do not trouble to ask yourself if it is the imagination, if you see all the beauty and harmony and love in that heavenly world. Be quite sure that your soul vision is open. Whatsoever is beautiful and good is true. And as the Master Hilarion once said, think on these things. Peace be in your midst, dear ones. Be lifted up in spirit. Behold the vision glorious, the vision of the heavens opening golden glory, the veil being torn down so that you may look into the Holy of Holies, which is the perfect heavenly state. When you can do this, you can help others to do the same. And when many look upon this perfect life, it will naturally happen that the perfect life will be reflected onto your earth. And now we have our prayer for humanity. We remember before God the great need of all humankind, and that we may pray to God, we have made quiet the fretful mind of every day, and opened our hearts to the Father, Mother God, and to Christ the Son, to the Holy Trinity of wisdom, love and power. In the holy name of Christ, by the Christ light in the hearts of all people, we call upon the great angels of Christ. We feel their presence and their power, and we attune ourselves to the prayers of all men and women of goodwill. And being thus prepared and ready before God, with all the will of our minds, with all the love of our deepest hearts, we send forth the light. We send it forth as a great star of light, a star, a blazing star, withstanding, overcoming all evil, triumphant over darkness and death, a star of the Christ light. By all the power of Christ within, we send forth the light. And we especially remember at this time all those who are suffering as a result of conflict, of lack of food and water, especially in Africa, and those suffering through natural disaster. And we bring into the great light of the star all those who have asked for healing. And we especially remember anyone known to us personally who may be in need of help or healing. Silently we name them now. And we see them perfect in the heart of the star. Amen. So for our meditation, we enter into that golden world of God. We visualize the golden heart of the sun shining on the still waters, a pathway of light reaching from your feet, right out across the water, into the golden rising sun. See this reflection reaching towards you. And know that that golden light is not just light, but ever increasing love. And it is love that allows you to walk on the water, in the Master's footsteps, towards the heart of love in the sun. Step forwards in faith. Trust the hands which guide you. Trust the Master who leads you now. And it is our love for him, our love for God, our love for others, for all the kingdoms of life, which enables us to walk over the waters on the golden pathway. You may see your feet, your naked feet, in your body of light, themselves golden with the rays of the sun. And as we walk, love guides our way and love increases. The vibration from the heart of love grows stronger as the light fills our vision. Now not just a pathway of light, but light spreading out across the horizon with the rising sun. We are drawn forward. The light in our hearts responding to that greater love. we breathe in the light. And in it we hear the angelic sound. The angels of love singing their praise to the arisen sun, to the newborn. For as we come closer into that glory, there is the child, the sun child, the Christ child. And we come into his presence. And as children ourselves, we kneel. Jesus, the man, Jesus, the child, and the light within us, all one, in the Father, Mother, God. Feel the blessing of family. Of togetherness. The blessing of union. We are taken into the heart of this family, a family in reality we have never left. Be comforted. Be held. Be in this divine oneness and know God. When the time comes to leave, to retrace our steps, we do so with joy, looking back down that pathway of light towards the earth plane. We know that the Christ exists in all creation. No matter how earthy or ignorant, and so we walk back towards our physical body. Take a few deeper breaths And as you reach the shore, this is the shore of your physical form. And so be aware of your body again, how you're sitting or lying. Allow the breath to bring you back to full consciousness of physical form. And we give thanks to the sun. Amen. Make sure that you seal your solar plexus and your throat center with a cross of light in the circle of light. Make sure you're sitting in that circle of light and that your spine is strong and earthy. And we finish our service with these words from White Eagle. The Great White Spirit bless you all. We love every one of you with a love which is not often known on earth. It is the love of spirit and binds all hearts together. Good night. God be with you, every one of you. Amen. And from all of us here at Newlands and in London, we wish you a very happy Christmas and joy in the new year.